Hello, and welcome to Open Door, a podcast that gives a glimpse into classrooms around the world. I'm Chris Galley, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Lee Blowers. Today, we're going to be talking about Professional Learning Networks, or PLNs, and who better to talk about the power of a PLN than an educator who spent years developing a huge following on his own professional learning network on Twitter, Facebook, and through his blog. Yes, that's right, today we're joined by Mr. Craig Kemp. We're really excited to share this interview with you, so let's get into the show. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, the pleasure is all ours. Thank you so much for being here. So we wanted to have a chat with you today, not about the usual topic of digital learning, but we actually wanted to talk to you about starting professional learning networks and what they are. But before we get into that, can you start by telling us a bit about yourself and how you got into education and what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from New Zealand, as you can maybe tell from the accent. Been in Singapore now for almost 8 years. I am New Zealand born and raised. I've been an educator since right from out of high school. I went to teachers training college and in New Zealand and pursued it right from the beginning. I think really comes back to my mum, who as a teenager decided to retrain as a teacher. And really was my inspiration for jumping into the education bandwagon. And I guess my dad was an IT manager, just recently retired at a hospital. And so sort of a combination of the both, how I found myself into my current role. So I'm currently in Singapore as Director of Educational Technology and Innovation at Stanford American International School, a school of 3,200 students, 500 staff, and I manage and lead a team of 5 digital learning leaders and 3 innovation technicians that support the authentic and purposeful integration technology into our classrooms. And as of June 14, I'm actually leaving my school and starting up my own educational technology consultancy company based in Singapore, but working with schools globally to ignite and support the same sort of positive changes and experiences that I've been able to do with my team at Stanford and with many other schools all over the world.
I've seen you posting about that online. It sounds like an amazing new chapter in your life.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's also very scary, but a lot of good stuff happening already.
Yeah, really, really exciting times ahead. So if I could start by asking you, Craig, we're all big Twitter users, and we obviously advocate for Twitter a lot. We hear the term PLN thrown about a lot. What does PLN mean to you, and why should people grow one?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, PLN is a professional learning network. Also, people see it as a personal learning network. I see it as a professional learning network. I started using Twitter about 10 years ago now. After some hiccups to start with, I sort of got stuck into it and eventually found my place and what it meant to me. I started by developing a blog and posting about my professional experiences, more of a professional learning blog for myself. And Twitter became the place for me to share some of that. I realized that there was lots of awesome stuff out there and I was taking a lot, but there was really a need for me to give back. So that's sort of how that give and take sort of connection happened. For me, the professional learning network is all about community, connecting and collaborating. And for me, it also means that I have people to help me whenever I need to, but also I'm there to help other people whenever I can as well. So, without my professional learning network, I am so limited to the sorts of learning that I can do. With my Twitter professional learning network, I can learn anywhere, anytime, anyhow, on the bus, on the way home from school. I can do it between classes. I can do it over my lunch break. I can do it on a plane while I'm waiting to take off. I mean, I can do and learn wherever I want, and it's personalized to me. So having my professional learning network also means that I can ask questions and get answers for that. A good example is a class at school was learning about space. One evening we asked, I put out on Twitter to my PLN, said, hey, PLN, help me, please help me find some connections for grade three who are learning about space. I woke up the next morning to three amazing connections. We had a connection with an astronaut where the class was able to Skype with that astronaut within 3 days. A connection with a spacesuit design company where our kids asked inquiry-based questions and the spacesuit design company responded with a personalized video within 5 days. And then we connected with a space camp in the US as well. So all of those connections wouldn't be possible without having a professional learning network to help and support.
That's an incredible example.
Yeah, very powerful.
I'm curious because I was looking at your Twitter feed before and I saw you have an awful lot of followers, but you're also following a huge amount of people. And so one of the things that sort of Lee and I, we've talked about quite a bit is as teachers, how we manage our time. And so being part of a professional learning network is definitely, you know, it consumes some of your time. And particularly if you've got a massive amount of people who you're following. So how do you get a balance there? How do you make sure that you're, you know, you're not spending all of your time on Twitter all day, every day?
You have to ask my wife that. She can probably be the true respondent to that question. I do invest, and I have invested a lot of time in developing my network with great success as far as what they do to help me. And that's been a massive, massive help in my journey as an educator. Without it, I wouldn't be where I am today. But the time and effort is something that scares a lot of people off. A lot of the workshops and talking I do around the world are around developing professional learning networks and sort of staying connected to those. Everyone has their own personal preferences. Twitter may not be for you, but a professional learning network adds value to what you do as a professional. Many places around the world are sort of identifying some of those, that the time that you spend on professional learning networks now as accreditation towards certification and towards the amount of PD hours that teachers need in different parts around the world. So we're seeing a real change in the dedication that people have to being connected above and beyond what is expected of them. Once people are really invested and they see the value in it and what they can get out of it, there really is no going back. But I do think it's really important to be really strategic about the time you spend on there. It's not about how many people you have following you or you are connected with. It's about the quality of what you do and what you share and what you do on a daily basis, really. And that's something that gets more and more difficult with the more people that you're connected with. And to your question about time and how I stay connected with my followers, it's really challenging. I don't use my feed. I use TweetDeck to help curate chats and hashtags that I follow. But really, it's notifications that I stay in touch with more than anything. It's just impossible now to stay up to date with a feed.
So, Craig, I was wondering, could you give us a good example beyond the earlier one you gave where you've used or seen someone else utilize the power of their PLN?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first sort of thing that springs to mind when you ask that question is what we do at Stamford around developing networks for teachers. We have a hashtag SAIS rocks. And we encourage our teachers to share learning experiences, not for a marketing tool. It's not for parents. It's for each other, to support each other, to grow and to learn together. So when you look at SAIS rocks, you'll see teachers every day sharing best practice, sharing things that really made them go wow, sharing failures, sharing success stories. So to me, that is what a professional learning network is all about. A hashtag, like a search function, is something that ties people together to a group. It's like my chat, What is School? It brings people together who know each other, who want to invite other people in to talk about common things, but also to challenge each other. So bringing in that and having that example of what we do at Stamford with our hashtag has been really powerful in the journey that we're taking on sort of developing professionals in our workplace.
Brilliant. And was that something that you brought into the school, or was that something that already existed?
Yes, and SAIS Rocks is something that I brought in many years ago and sort of been jumped on by our marketing team and teachers as well. It's not a compulsory piece. It was a way for us to sort of record our learning journey right from the beginning when we started about 4 years ago, when we initially brought upon a digital learning model and created that from scratch. We decided that we wanted to create a way of bringing all of those conversations to one place in a curated environment.
Yeah, so that's great to hear that it's been sort of 4 years of going. So have you seen that develop and grow over those 4 years?
Absolutely, yeah. And the more and more people that see the power of it, I guess it's all, I sort of refer to it as the teacher next door model. I can stand up the front and share as much as I like, but they're not going to listen to me preaching about what I love and I'm passionate about. But as soon as they see the teacher next door doing it, sort of gives them a sense of empowerment that, hey, I can do that too. So that's been really powerful. And also we share out their tweets of the week as part of our weekly newsletter to faculty as well.
That's amazing. I've seen one of the things that you do is you very often you support your peers at school in getting more followers if they're new to Twitter. And is that an expectation that your teachers are on Twitter, or is it just something you encourage?
It's a good question. No, it's not compulsory at all. We do have about 100 of our faculty connected on Twitter. Of that, we have about maybe 20 or 30 regular tweeters. It's not compulsory. I sort of take pride in helping people grow their professional learning network. I think the first 100 followers is the toughest of the lot. So being connected with 100 people who can support your journey is critical to you wanting to stay connected. So I take great pride in sort of helping other people connect and grow their professional learning networks as well.
That's great. And is it only about Twitter, or do you experiment with other networks as well?
For me personally, I use Twitter for professional learning. I blog. I also share through Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Mr. Kemp's Education Blog, where I post things every now and then. I used to use Google Plus a little bit to connect with some of my Google community, but that's obviously gone now. I use LinkedIn a little bit to share from a higher professional sort of level. But day-to-day learning, connecting, and engaging is all done through Twitter. We encourage our teachers to choose whatever social media suits them. We have a bunch of our art teachers sharing on Instagram. Some really good practice happening on Instagram of professional learning sharing as well. So it's really whatever floats your boat. If you're connecting, that's all we care about. Connect and grow as a professional. If it comes to Twitter, we can help you. If it comes to something else, you can become the expert in that as well.
Excellent. Is that something that comes up in kind of appraisal discussions and sort of monitoring of other staff?
Yeah, it definitely is within my team. We discuss it as well. We talk about the sort of growth that we've been able to have when we're connecting, engaging, and empowering people online. It's starting to become something that's an expectation with our leadership team as well in conversations about how they're sharing and growing and developing as an individual. Being a huge faculty, that also means that there's a need for self-learning as well, that there's a lot of personalized learning that needs to take place. So it's going to be an expectation of all of our academic leadership team that they are connected on Twitter as of next academic year, which is really exciting as well. So we're moving forward in that respect to be the aim is to be a global leader in the field of sort of professional learning networks and communities.
Fantastic. So Craig, I had a quick check on your Twitter just before starting, and you're now up to over 41,000 followers on Twitter. I'd like you to turn the mirror on yourself, really. And in your opinion, why do you think people follow you on Twitter, and what could new followers expect to see?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess one of the things that I love is sharing my own content and blog posts about things that I'm passionate about, but also retweeting and sharing things that other people are doing. And that's sort of what I take more pride in is helping other people grow and share good things. A good example, Sean Forty just shared the other day some awesome stuff with his Global Read Alouds. When I see something that's shared, I want other people to be connected and to see it as well. So a simple retweet can go a long way to connect a lot of people to a really cool and exciting learning experience. I guess on my feed recently, you probably haven't seen a lot. I've been pretty engaged in developing and building out my business and connections. So I've been doing more retweeting and sharing than my own blogging and curation and creation of my own content. You'll see me connecting through several hashtags, including SIS Rocks, Cognito Way, and through What Is School as well, which is the chat that I run. So more so sharing content, but targeted learning content for K through 12 educators.
That's great. So what sort of advice would you give to someone who's maybe new to Twitter or they're thinking about creating a PLN? How should they get started? What are some of the best success tips?
Yeah, I've got a couple of blog posts about it, actually, that I've written about helping other people connect and get connected online, particularly on Twitter. I think the couple of pieces of advice that I always give to anyone creating a professional learning network is don't focus on numbers. Numbers shouldn't be an end game, shouldn't be worrying about how many people follow you. It should all start with a why. Why are you wanting to develop a PLN? If there's no desire or drive to develop a professional learning network, then you're not going to get anything out of it. So there needs to be a why, and really know your why. Why is it that you've got a professional learning network? For me, it's to connect, grow, and learn. Every day is a new day for learning, and I love the ability to be able to connect with some of the best educators in the world, and knowledge subject matter experts as well. So know your why. Don't worry about the number. Give as much as you take, and I think start small. Start with the people you know. If you're at a conference, use the hashtag. At a learning event, connect with other people. Connect with people in your own building. Read educational blogs. Start with some powerhouse Twitter users and connect with them. But start small and really start focused on what it is you're trying to achieve. If you're a teacher who's going through your first PYP exhibition, then use the hashtag PYPX and connect with other educators going through the same journey to help you along the way. So there's lots of ways that you can use this to really nail down a specific area of focus, and that's where I would start.
That's some really good advice. And I really like the point you sort of highlighted of, you know, making it about your own interests. And just the fact that it can sort of snowball, can't it? Your interest, one person will take you to something else, and that you'll go down this sort of rabbit hole of learning. And, you know, you're sort of constantly connected to excellent examples of learning coming through every day from across the world.
Yeah, I think that's something that I found with the ADE group of people. The Apple Distinguished Educators very much support each other, and you get into that rabbit hole and follow through and just learn so much.
Totally, yeah. It's great to be connected with those like-minded people, just like it is, I think, to be connected with people that challenge your thinking as well in the same respect. And also, just to add to that, one of the other things that I've really found powerful out of sort of over the years of developing my professional learning network is not just focusing on educators, but getting opinions and connecting with people outside of education too. And we're starting to see a huge rise in ed tech companies and corporations connecting and using social media for good. So connecting and following and engaging with organizations and giving feedback and next steps on products and tools that we as educators want to see as well.
Brilliant, yeah. So Greg, obviously you're here chatting to us about PLNs and how important they are. Do you think that university programs for teaching should take a bit more responsibility for supporting educators in creating PLNs?
Yeah, totally. I just had this conversation the other day with a couple of student teachers who interviewed me about professional learning networks, actually, from a US university where their lecturer has invested time in connecting them to the importance of being a connected educator as well. And the amount of growth that they've seen in themselves through being involved in the online community has been so powerful. Often on our What Is School chat, I see lecturers bringing in their students to the discussions as part of a homework assignment, for example, using their school hashtag or their course hashtag. So seeing them being connected to the world of education right from the beginning is something that I wish I had as an early career educator as well. I think more universities and higher education settings should be setting an example and supporting, the professional development of their students through helping them create a network that can be targeted to support their learning journeys.
That's a really good idea. And one of the things I loved recently is we had a Cognita digital learning event, and our colleague John Coward ran a session on getting more educators on Twitter and giving people just those basic steps of how do you follow, what is an @, what's a hashtag.
Yeah, exactly.
I should definitely be part of that.
Oh, 100%. I think that's a really good example of some on the ground educators doing that as well. And I think everyone has a part to play.
You mentioned your hashtag, What is School, before. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Why did you create that? What's the purpose of it? And who's connecting with it?
Yeah, it's so What is School was created by a colleague that I connected with online, Laura Hill, and myself. She reached out to me several years ago now. I think it's almost 6 years ago now to the day where she reached out to me. We were connected on Twitter. She is an artist, but in the education field, and said, hey, I think we should co-create a chat. We were connected in other chats like Sun Chat and Sat Chat and Ed Chat, and we were doing our thing. We thought there was just a place for educators to come and sort of debate the purpose and reasoning for what school is and what we do every day. So what we wanted to do is create a opportunity for everyday educators to share best practice, best ideas, try and keep things positive but challenging at the same time, around just about any topic and everything that you can imagine. So it started with Laura and I, and then Laura sort of moved on, and I've for the last few years been leading What is School by myself, with every week with a new co-host to support me, and that's been really powerful. So every week I do very little, I have to say, to be perfectly honest. The people coming in lead the chat every week. They put the questions together, they support and create things. I just give them a portal to share. I help guide and facilitate the conversation. And then when I'm away, I have an amazing group and core of people that I can call on to help lead and support that. And that's sort of just developed over time to a part now where we've got every week 50 to 100 educators connecting for an hour every week, 7 p.m. every Thursday Eastern time. In the UK, I think that's 11 p.m. GMT, so not great timing for Europe. But in Singapore, Friday 7 a.m. In Singapore, and across Asia, 11 a.m. in Australia. 9 a.m. in Australia, 11 a.m. in New Zealand. I mean, it brings together educators from every part of the world, talking about every topic imaginable at every really skill level, from beginning teachers to expert teachers to principals to superintendents to business owners, you name it, we've got it. We've sort of created this space for people to share. And really the results of that have been so outstanding that every time I'm involved in the chat, it sort of blows me away with the sorts of things that the professional learning network of What is School can talk about.
Oh, brilliant.
That's really good. I joked about the time, but actually one of the things which is really powerful about those Twitter chats is you don't have to be taking part to get something out of it. And sometimes, you know, when you wake up, say on a Friday morning, and you see all of the tweets come in from the evening's hashtag chat, then you can learn something from that as well. And just looking at people's responses or the ideas that you shared, that's part of that as well, isn't it? Part of that experience.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head as well. It's it's amazing live, it's challenging live, it's very busy live, but there's also power in that archive as well, that whatever you tweet is there forever. Whatever you share is there forever. So as far as a digital citizenship program goes that we should be doing in our schools, we talk about that as well with our tweeting, that whatever I put out there is not going away, and being able to go back and check that sort of stuff later if I miss something, that's great as well.
And do you offer a summary of those chats at the end?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's sort of a controversial point at the moment. We used to, just in the past sort of 3 or 4 weeks, we haven't been anymore. I stopped having those being curated. We used to use Participate as a way of sharing those, but unfortunately, due to some law changes and security and privacy issues, they've stopped doing that. We may go back to it. I may decide to go back to it later, but for now I've actually dropped the archiving function until we can sort of find a portal. I can find a portal that satisfies the needs of the community in a private and safe way, secure way.
I'm sure I'll get that sorted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a few people using Wakelet as an archive. So maybe could be a possible solution, perhaps.
Absolutely. We've just actually just had a phone call with the Wakelet team last week. So, yeah, we're chatting about what that might look like. There's a few customizations that we would like, I think, to be able to help with the automation of it as well. But it's Wakelet is proving a pretty amazing tool for day-to-day educators as well as in curating content.
Oh, wonderful. And then you find that through your PLN, which, of course... connects us all together.
Absolutely. yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Craig, I'm just checking up on the time, and we've kept you for quite a while. So I'd like to say thank you very, very much for joining us today on the chat.
Absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. It's an honour, really, to be asked to chat with you and to share a little bit more.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks. Could you just tell our listeners, how can people connect with you? Where can they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. MrKempNZ.com, MrKempNZ.com. You can connect with me on Twitter at MrKempNZ. If you're on Facebook, you can check out MrKempNZ Education Blog. You'll be sure to find me somewhere around there.
Wonderful.
That's great. And I know you've got a lot of exciting events coming up as you start this next chapter of your career.
Yeah, it's going to be busy moving into full-time EdTech consultancy. Going to be in Spain in June, going to be in Australia in June, July, then throughout Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Nepal, Thailand, Vietnam. The list goes on.
Wow, that's incredibly exciting. And we hope you can come back at some point in the future and we can hear about how that new venture is going.
Absolutely, yeah, I'd love to come back and chat.
Okay, Craig, well, thank you for your time. We'll be in touch soon. We'll see you on Twitter.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Craig.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much to Craig for joining us today. There's so much that we can learn from him, and he really is a testament to the power of creating a professional learning network as a teacher and how it can be used to bolster your own connections and knowledge and skills. It's also really interesting to hear the idea of creating a school hashtag to support others within your community, to share examples of best practice, and also to market what you're doing with the world beyond your own school. If you'd like to get involved with the show, then we'd love to hear what you've got to say on Twitter using the hashtag OpenDoorPod, or you can leave us a voice message on Anchor. We'd love to hear, how are you using your professional learning network? What are some of your tips for getting started? If you'd like to be a guest on a future show, you can send Lee or myself a message on Twitter. You can find me at cgallyedu, or Lee is at Mr. Blowers. Until next time. Thanks so much for joining us.